Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Smash that like button, share the stream, like and share. It helps out with the algorithm. And I got to tell you, there is something to be said about this algorithm. I know it's a very, very nebulous sort of thing. We don't talk a whole heck of a lot about what actually the algorithm is. It's kind of like the universe. It's so vast. It's just, it's out there, you know? What is the algorithm? Well, the algorithm helped me connect with our guest on the show here about a quarter past the hour, Eli Sharkey. He'll be joining us. Really looking forward to this discussion with him. We've been doing this show in some capacity for over a decade. I've been a part of this show for not quite a decade. I'll be at Hub City Radio in about 2 months or so for a full decade. So I've been a part of this show for not quite a decade, but pretty close to it. And in the near decade time that I've been a co-host or host of this show, I can't recall ever talking to a gentleman like this. We're talking professional bullfighting. That's right, professional bullfighting. It's coming up towards the quarter past the hour. Eli Sharkey, he'll be joining us here. And the algorithm helped me out with this discussion. You know, I was on Facebook yesterday just kind of scrolling, seeing what's out there, what's in the mix. And I saw that the Sitting Bull Stampede is going to be coming to Mobridge in a couple of weeks. That's on July the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's the 80th anniversary of the Sitting Bull Stampede Rodeo there in Mobridge. So I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then I saw they shared one of the posts from Eli Sharkey, and I reached out to this guy, and I thought to myself, boy, this is going to be a really fun discussion, talking all things bullfighting with Eli Sharkey here. I've been about 10 to 15 minutes looking forward to that discussion there with him. And then coming up towards the bottom of the hour, just announced within the last week and a half, 2 weeks or so, the Northern State University Athletic Department, they announced their Hall of Fame class for 2025. Let's see, June 10th. Okay, 9 days ago they announced that. And former Northern State University women's basketball player as well as cross-country runner Michaela Archigo, she'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that discussion with, I call her coach. I mean, she used to be the former coach for the Aberdeen Central girls basketball team. And we'll talk with Coach coming up towards the bottom of the hour. It's kind of like being Mr. President. You know, even when you leave the White House, you're still Mr. President. It's kind of like that with coaching. Even when you get out of coaching, you're still Coach. So that's my two cents with that. So looking forward to that discussion there with Coach Archigo towards the bottom of the hour. We'll reflect on her time with Northern State University and her time on the hardwood there, as well as on the cross-country side of things there as well. Ran three seasons for NSU in terms of cross-country there. So a lot to get to today on the Sports Hub. Let's toss this thing in the air for the jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 AM and 98.5 on the FM dial. Now, we talked about this yesterday and quite a bit on Monday as McClure was joining yours truly talking about the Open this last weekend with J.J. Spaun. Of course, he finished under par. Not a whole lot of players really had great scores. The course itself was a little bit up and down. I mean, when we were out golfing on Monday, we sort of made the joke, Doc Sebastian did, that some of the holes out there, it felt like a clown mouth, you know? It's like, that's what you need here, is because some of the greens were like waves on a beach in some way, shape, or means. And one guy in particular that had a tough day with those greens was one Jordan Spieth. Now, when you hear this piece of audio from Jordan Spieth, you're going to be saying the exact same line from The Wolf of Wall Street, one of us, one of us, gobble gobble, one of us. Play the audio. Go ahead.
I had a few beers Sunday. We were waiting on the Schefflers to come over here, and he was after the delay. So I went to Buffalo Wild Wings with Michael, and so I didn't exactly eat or drink the way I normally do there. And then most of the time it's very, very good, but sometimes post US Open I just kind of needed to throw a few back, and then by yesterday I was good. I'm still young enough that doesn't really bother me on the next day. So
good stuff there from Jordan Spieth. How do you unwind after Oakmont and the US Open? Got to crush some beers and some wings. How many times have you said that after a really rough round of golf? Buddies hit you up. Hey man, what are you up to? I just fired a 117 out at Moccasin Creek or Lee Park or something like that. Must have been an off day. Hey, what are you up to? I'm probably going to go home, take a shower, and I don't know, maybe play some video games. How about you come out and crush some beers with us and eat some wings? Sold! Tell you what, if I was a single guy, that'd be on my game plan after a rough day at Lee Park or Moccasin Creek. Crush some beers and down some wings. Now, they got to be boneless. Got to be boneless. That's probably a hot take. I don't care. I prefer my wings boneless. If you say, it's just a chicken wing, it's just a chicken nugget, that's fine. I don't care. It tastes good, so leave me alone. Sue me. That's how I roll when it comes to my chicken wings. So, this came across my feed, and if you guys want a good laugh, a great follow on social media is the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee tweets out some hilarious stuff. Sometimes it's politically related, sometimes not. Sometimes it's sports related, sometimes not. Sometimes it's just something out there in pop culture that is really, really humorous. And I think this is a perfect encapsulation of who the Babylon Bee is. It's a satire website. You know, it's kind of like The Onion. The Babylon Bee tweeted out the other day, no foul called after Caitlin Clark was crushed by an anvil. I mean, I thought to myself, that is perfect. That is a picture-perfect tweet right there. A little alliteration. No foul called after Caitlin Clark crushed by anvil. And somebody even quote-tweeted that and said, well, the anvil was making a play on the ball. So it's kind of one of those things where she has just been getting absolutely hammered. And she took a shot to the face the other night, in a ball game in which they were up by, I think, 15 at the time. And the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark, she is the face of the league. You know, people say it's going to be that person, or it's this person, or it's that person. Let's be honest, Caitlin Clark is a huge reason why the numbers are up. Probably like 94% of the reason why numbers are up with the WNBA. Probably even higher than 94%. Some would say, Tukes, who are we kidding? It's about 100%. And that may be. But she gets some pretty, pretty tough physicality rolling her way, and I would be shocked to not have her teammates kind of have her back here in the not-too-distant future. So, good tweet right there from the Babylon Bee. Also, on the local side of things, this just came out yesterday, that the Sioux Falls Sports Authority and the NSIC, they're fired up to announce that Sioux Falls once again has been selected to host the 2025 NCAA Division II Women's Volleyball Championships for the second consecutive year. It was there, of course, this last year. And that'll be at the Sanford Pentagon. Mark your calendars for December the 11th through the 13th. Erin Lind, of course, the NSIC commissioner, she says, quote, we look forward to another year of working with Sioux Falls Sports Authority and the Sanford Pentagon staffs to host this elite event. Hosting back-to-back years in a first-class facility will only enhance the experience that experience provided to the student athletes, coaches, and fans alike. That's from Aaron Lind, the NSIC conference commissioner. So good stuff there down south in Sioux Falls at the Sanford Pentagon. And I got to tell you, if you're head coach Brent Aldridge and staff and you're kind of looking at this season, obviously it's a big ask because every season is an absolute grind and how difficult the season schedule is. You're in the NSIC. It's the toughest conference in all of D2 volleyball. But let's just say you have yourself a really, really successful season. I know he's brought in a fair amount of transfers, kind of filling some holes and filling some roles and whatnot. But it's going to be an uphill battle, as is every single year for every single team in the NSIC, because it is just that good. But let's just say you get through the NSIC tournament, you make it to the national tournament. Well, you kind of turn that place into the Barnett Center South in the not-too-distant future, if you can have yourself a very successful season and those Northern State fans can fill up down south there in Sioux Falls. That'd be a pretty cool deal. So good stuff there from the NSIC and D2 volleyball. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk a little professional bowl fighting. That's right, Eli Sharkey. He'll be joining us next on the program. And then towards the bottom of the hour, Michaela Archigo, former Northern State Wolves basketball player, as well as cross-country runner. She'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. All of that and more is coming up next on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Stay tuned. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. David Tewksbury riding solo with you, sir, or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears on this Thirsty Thursday, officially on the back half of the work week. Going to be a hot one here today. Temperatures right around 90. We'll hit 91 tomorrow. Calling for 95 on Saturday. So drink a whole lot of water. So stay hydrated out there. H2O, H2O. And then when you're tired of drinking water, perhaps a little more H2O will be just about perfect for you there, as temperatures will actually cool off by Monday and Tuesday of next week. We're looking like low 70s on Monday, upper 60s on your Tuesday. Tukes, it sounds like you're stalling. Sounds like you're just trying to kill time. Yeah, maybe. I guess you caught me on that one. Eli Sharkey, we gave him a phone call, no answer. So I shot him a text message, and then we'll see if he can give us a call back here in the not-too-distant future, talking some professional bullfighting there with Eli Sharkey, perhaps. Gave him a call there yesterday, and he said, okay, 10:15, that's Central Time, right? I said, yes, okay, maybe he's busy right now. We'll see. But left a phone call message there to him, or left him a message on his answering machine. Do people still have those answering machines, although it's all connected to your cell phone? I'm not sure. Also shot him a text message there, so hopefully he'll give us a call back here in the not-too-distant future. Meantime, though, let's take a look at some of the action from yesterday. The Aberdeen Smitties, they were down south in Yankton. They've got a very quick turnaround today. They'll be taking on the Harrisburg Gold Squad. That'll be at 3 and 5 o'clock, respectively, tonight. You can follow that via the Game Changer app. The Smitties continue with this long and arduous road trip, man. They have been on the road since the very early stages of June. Their first home game since very, very early June is coming up next week, Monday, as they'll bring in Renner post 307. Ryan Martin will have the play-by-play for you over on hubcityradio.com and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen YouTube page. So, I mean, it's been an absolutely brutal stretch for these Smitties on the road, because they've literally been on the road for the last 2.5 to 3 weeks. Nice to have some home games there at Fossum Field next week, Monday. But they were in action last night down south in Yankton, and they would fall in a pair of games against Yankton post 12, falling in game 1, 9-4, your final score there, and then dropping a 7-4 decision in game 2. In the first of two, the post 12 squad struck early. They were basically steady across all 7 innings, putting up at least one run in 6 of the 7 frames. They led 1-0, did post 12. After that first, Aberdeen would tie things up in the top of the second frame. Errant throw by the Yankton first baseman. That would plate Carson Borg. Unfortunately for the Smitties, Yankton, they did get that run back and then some in the bottom of the second, taking a 4-1 lead there. Post 12 would add single tallies in the fourth and fifth innings, respectively, before adding 3 more in the bottom of the seventh. Trailing 9-1 going into the last of the seventh inning, Aberdeen tried to chip away at that 8-run deficit, but just too little too late, ultimately falling 9-4. Post 12 would out-hit the Smitties 11-6 in Game 1. Bennett Eisenbeis took the loss on the bump, going four innings, surrendering eight hits, five earned runs, also struck out three in the shortcoming there. Offensively, Ridley Waldo, Joran Foss, and J.L. Aviles each had one RBI. Game two in the top of the second inning, after both teams were scoreless in the first, 10-pitch battle between J.L. Aviles and the pitcher there from Yankton. And it was kind of funny because I was watching this on YouTube. They had a broadcast for this contest yesterday on social media. I'll call YouTube social media. And it was just battle and battle and battle, pitch after pitch after pitch. Yeah, just a little outside, chopper foul, just making some contact, staying alive, great battle right there from J.L. Aviles. And eventually he would reach first base on a single. He would steal second on an errant throw by the catcher. And you had Carson Borg there at third, so he would kind of sneak home there. Aviles would eventually score from third base on the next at bat as Grant Beyer would hit a sacrifice fly. Smitty's lead 2-0. Aberdeen would add two more in the top of the third. They lead 4-0. Things are looking very, very solid. Unfortunately, that lead would be short-lived. Yankton cut that lead in half in the bottom of the frame, added three more in the fourth to take a 5-4 advantage, and that would be a lead they would not relinquish. Joran Foss took the loss on the hill. He started, went three innings, and surrendered four hits. Scattered five runs. Only two of them were earned. Both teams really had a tough time in the field. Three errors for each squad. Jackson Ladner was 1-for-4 and a 2-RBI single there in the third inning. Smitty's, again, a very quick turnaround. They'll battle Harrisburg Gold. That'll be on Thursday here today for another doubleheader. First pitch is slated for 3 o'clock for Game 1 and Game 2 to follow there for the Aberdeen Smitties. And, you know, you take a look at some of the losses they've had this season, and you take a look at their overall record, and obviously it's not been great. We talked about this earlier on this week. But a lot of their games, five of their losses, have been by one run. And now you add another one from yesterday, and I believe now it's six of their losses this season have been by four runs or fewer. So it's not as if they are going out there and just kind of lollygagging around and they're just getting blown out every single game. That's not the case at all. The Smitties have been very, very competitive this season. They're just not quite getting the result. And I say, and I continue to be of this opinion, that when you do get the result, they could come in bunches. You know, it's kind of like in football where defenses are having good seasons but not great seasons. They just can't quite force the turnover. You know, they're not punching the football out. They're not getting interceptions. They just can't force any sort of turnovers. And then as soon as they get one punch out, as soon as they get one fumble recovery or one interception, those things kind of come in bunches. And I kind of get a sense that it's the case for the Aberdeen Smitties. I mean, we've seen this in baseball. Take a look at the Minnesota Twins. Things are not going right. They get off to an incredibly slow start once again. What, 7-13 to begin the season? Nothing is going right from pitching to hitting, and everything is going awry. Everything is going astray. And then somehow they find a way to win a ball game. Then they win 13 straight. Well, it's kind of like that comes in bunches. Well, unfortunately now for the Twins, the losing has come in bunches because they've lost now six straight in a rain-shorted affair there yesterday against Cincinnati. 4-2, your final tally. Twins will look to see if they can salvage something right now in that series. 11:40 is slated for your first pitch. That's coming up later on here today. Pre-game coverage will begin shortly after the top of the hour right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But yeah, the Twins have had a tough go about it. Got off to a great start there in theory yesterday. Byron Buxton goes yad. But things are just not quite clicking right now. Twins are now under 500 for the first time, I believe, since May the 9th. And they've had a great stretch prior to this, but problem is they've now lost six straight games and are now sitting 10.5 games back of first-place Detroit in the AL Central. Guardians, coupled with a couple of wins, their last two games, they're now leapfrogging the Twins now in second-place. Detroit is 9 games up of second-place Cleveland. So, again, got to salvage something here today against the Cincinnati Reds. Pre-game begins at 11 o'clock, and first pitch is slated for, looks like, about 11:40 here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Twins will return home this upcoming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, bringing in the second-place Milwaukee Brewers in the NL Central. So that's what's on tap there for the Minnesota Twins. Also of note, yesterday on the Legion baseball side of things, you had Groton Legion post 39 all over Spearfish. 20 6-4, your final score there. You can check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details in that regard there. Also of note, you've got the schedule for today. Harrisburg hosting the Aberdeen Smitties at 3-5, respectively, while Castlewood Post 250 brings in Groton Post 39. And I thought it was also Webster and Sisseton doing battle later on here today in Milbank, if memory serves correctly. Got to double-check on that before the episode is all said and done. Would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details of the SDGA Junior Tour. You had the Northeast leg there yesterday at Broadland Creek National Course there, and you can check out hubcityradio.com for more details for the boys' 12-13s, 14-15s, and 16-18s for the boys and girls there, respectively. A lot of local athletes that put together some really, really solid numbers there yesterday. All right, so looks like we're going to go ahead and punt on Eli Sharkey. No word from him. So we'll go ahead and punt on that. Michaela Archigo is officially here in the house, so we'll bring her in coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Michaela Archigo joining us live in studio, new Northern State Hall of Famer. Coach, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. I said it's kind of like being president. You know, when you are a coach and you get out of coaching, you're still always coach. It's when you're the president, you know, you're always still, you know, Mr. President. So do people still call you coach around town, or is that just a me thing?
No, there's been quite a few people who call me coach yet, and it's still something that makes me smile because there's a lot of good memories from coaching. So
yeah,
it's nice to still hear that.
Yeah, you'll always be coach to me. So you get announced as the NSU Hall of Famer, and I'm looking up the numbers that you put together over the last handful of years, and I didn't realize that you're also my age. You know, you graduated college the same era. Back in 2013, which is kind of cool. But what do you remember the most about your time at Northern State? And, you know, you put together some great years, put up some great numbers. Obviously, you're still very, very active. What do you kind of look back at your Northern time and think, wow, this was kind of special?
Definitely the relationships, the friendships I have with some of the basketball players, some of my teammates, and some of the runners as well. It's been really fun whenever I go to state cross country or state track to run into some of those former teammates. Some of them have kids that are competing now, so that's kind of a little bit crazy. And just still keeping in touch with some of the basketball players. Not a ton of them still live around here. A lot of them have moved, but still keeping in touch through text. And I think that's the big thing looking back on my time at Northern is just the relationships and the friendships that you make. And I met my husband there, so I'd be remiss if I didn't give that a shout out here and say that was definitely worth it. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, see, I thought that was the way it happens for everybody. You go to college, you meet your significant other, and it's all great. I had to do it through a dating app instead. It all kind of worked out. Now we got two kids, and that's a whole other story. But no, good for you. You met your husband. That's fantastic. Was it easy for you to transition from senior year of high school to freshman year of college? Was that tough? Was it a difficult transition? What was that like?
I would say I didn't, like, looking back, it really wasn't difficult. I just kind of had, it's something my parents always instilled in me, something I remember my mom saying once that her mom had told her, teach your kids how to work. Mm. And so I think it just, it's kind of always been ingrained in me that you work hard so to get what you want. So I knew some of the things that I wanted to achieve at Northern, and I knew that I was going to have to work hard. It wasn't just going to be given to me. And luckily I've had some great coaches along the way who knew how to push me and get the best out of me. Looking back, I think it was probably harder than I realized, but at the time it was, I liked working hard. And I think sometimes people think that working hard is difficult things aren't always fun. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was fun. So working hard and that transition, even though looking back it was probably hard and difficult, it was fun at the same time.
Was it always Northern State for you? I'm sure there are probably some other schools that reached out to you and they watched your film and your tape and that sort of thing. And they say, oh, she'd really look good. And, purple and yellow or something like that? Or was it always Northern for you? Why Northern State?
I think growing up in this area, I think the pull was there. My parents both were athletes at Northern. They also met at Northern, so that there was a pull there as well. I did tour a couple other places. Part of it is I really don't like traveling. So when my parents, when I tour the other places, they'd make me drive and be like, this is what the drive is going to be like. And I didn't in particularly enjoy that, even though the other programs and athletes and coaches were all great in their own respects. Northern just kind of had that that home feel for me. I liked that it was close. Obviously, you got to give credit to Coach Fredrickson for the program that he built. My mom played for him, so I knew that he has a very fierce competitive strategy, and I was ready and willing to dive into that. And then it was one of the few programs that would let me do track and basketball. Mm-hmm. And then once I got there, they actually had a change in cross-country and track coaches. And so their cross-country coach didn't realize that I had already been told, no, you can't do cross-country and basketball. And he had kind of reached out to me after a road race and said, hey, would you be interested in running? And I said, yeah, sure. So I got that email. And by the time I had gotten to the Barnett Center, I got pulled into the basketball coach's offices and were like, I thought we had agreed you weren't going to be running.
Yeah, sure.
So my first getting in trouble was because I wanted to do more running. So
a little too active. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see that, I feel like, more at the NAIA level. I know Mayville State had a bunch of players that did basketball. They did track and field. They had a couple football players that did basketball as well as football. How difficult is that to balance two sports in one school year?
Luckily, the coaches were really, really flexible. And so I would do the basketball preseason workouts, and then I would just basically run on my own. Mm-hmm. So that's credit to the coaches, because not every coach is going to be that flexible with you. And then also, I mean, my parents were both multi-sport athletes at Northern, too. My dad was basketball, track, and cross country. And then my mom actually did basketball, track. She did 1 year of cross country, and then she did softball her fifth year. So,
wow.
I think ignorance is bliss sometimes. I mean, my parents did it, so I thought, oh, yeah, I can do that too. And they did it when they were NAIA, but like I said, ignorance is bliss. Sometimes you don't realize that, yeah, it is a little bit of a different level there.
Yeah, no kidding. Michaela Archigo joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Your mom played for Coach Fredrickson, so you knew full eyes open what kind of his style was. Was it similar to what your mom kind of described it as? Was it different? What was it like playing for Coach Fredrickson?
It was a great experience. I know one time when we were playing Mary, I don't even remember what I did wrong, because I did a lot of things wrong. But he kind of got after me, and the ref was handing me the ball and said, man, he sure gets after you sometime. And I just said, well, he wants us to get better. And yeah, that's just kind of, he doesn't want us to be mediocre. He never wanted us to be less than our best. And that's what I always wanted too. I wanted to get better. I wanted to improve. And that's kind of what my mom told me. So I knew what I was getting into, and I appreciate that he was pushing us all the time.
Was there kind of a welcome to NSU moment for you, maybe in a first practice or two, where you kind of screw something up? I mean, I'm not going to lie, I think Coach Fredrickson, he's a super nice guy, but he's a little intimidating. When I first met him, I was intimidated. He's got this kind of aura around him. I'm like, man, this guy, he's no nonsense all the time, but he is such a nice guy. He's a teddy bear. What was like that moment like for you, kind of that welcome to NSU moment?
Well, I think for me, he always you knew what you were going to get. And the one that kind of stands out for me, and this is an embarrassing story, but he had a rule where if you had an air ball, you had to run a lap around the track.
Mm-hmm.
And I shot an air ball, so I take off running around the track, and he didn't have to tell me. And then it was probably my second year, and then it happened again that same practice, and those were the only two air balls I had in practice. But man, he let me know that was when I was done running. He's like, yeah, well, I told you, if you're shooting air balls, you probably aren't taking good shots. And I mean, he might have been onto something there.
You know, sometimes it happens to the best of them. It happens to the best of us. You still have some records that are in the record books right now. Most rebounds in a game, 22. That still stands. And Northern's had some pretty good post players. I'm not breaking any news for you for that. I know you know that. What's that mean to you? You still have the number one record for most rebounds in a ball game, 22. Did you remember the day, and did you have your Wheaties that morning? What happened?
It's kind of funny, actually. The gal who had the record before me was one of my mom's teammates.
Okay.
So that was kind of neat, I think, that that I got that record, and she remembered her teammate setting it, and she told me, I never thought anyone would ever break that record, and I just remember her having 20 rebounds and thinking, 20 rebounds? How do you get 20 rebounds? So... again, it was something that I didn't really think at the time was that great. The thing I remember about it was we lost the game, so that kind of stunk. But it was against the reigning NCAA champions at the time, Minnesota Mankato. And I remember we were such a post-oriented team, and I was more of a three. I was never really strong enough or physical enough to really be good on the inside, so they kind of had to move me to the outside, which is where I was more comfortable playing anyway. But I think in some ways that's kind of an advantage, because with Minnesota, they took so many outside shots that you have a little more freedom out there on the perimeter as a rebounder. And a lot of times people just kind of stand and watch. And one thing my dad always told me was, you just assume every shot's going to miss. So I just remember thinking, I'm just going to assume every shot's going to miss, and I'm going to go for every rebound. And I wish we could have won the game, because that would have made it a lot better memory. But
that's interesting, because it's something that players, men, women alike, they always say whenever they get some sort of accolade or they set a record for that team or franchise, school, whatever, they always say, well, I'm happy we won the game. And that's exactly here we are, you know, 10, 15 years later, whatever it is, and you're thinking to yourself, God, I wish we won the game. Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
How we always remember those little things.
Yep. Yeah. And we had a very good season that year, but it's funny how those losses stick with you more than the wins.
I know. That's wild how that works out. Do you have time for one more segment?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, more with Michaela Archigo, new Northern State Hall of Famer, coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Once again, we've got Minnesota Twins coverage coming up at the top of the hour on FSA. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears. Michaela Archigo joining us live in studio here as well, and we're talking off the air, Coach. Again, congratulations on the Hall of Fame class. We'll talk about what that kind of means to you in here in a second, but we were talking off the air that you were on the varsity team up in Frederick as a 7th and 8th grader. That's not common where I come from. That's kind of unique about South Dakota high school athletics, isn't it? You get players that are on the varsity team that are 7th and 8th graders. How much do you feel like that helps you prepare for when you're maybe a junior or a senior like that? You're just being around everybody else that's a little bit older.
Yeah, I think a lot of it credit to some of the older gals, too, because I remember seeing my sister actually played varsity as a 7th grader as well. She played a lot more when she was in 7th grade than I did as a 7th grader. But that was, too, back when we were the Frederick Heckla North Stars, so I grew up watching, you know, Michelle Bruns, Shannon Daly, Chrissy Kopetsky, Brittany Klipfel. She actually, I believe, is out coaching in Ipswich now. But so I grew up kind of watching those kids, and a lot of times they were coached by Terry Nelson. I think he's coaching at Britton now.
Yeah.
But he
super nice guy. We had him on the show a couple months ago. I think it was one of my first times ever catching up with him. Really, really interesting character. Nice guy.
Uh-huh. And he kind of, I think, set the stage in the area for – you know, not limiting the age of kids that you bring up. And I think that really inspired me, because I knew that that was an option, an opportunity. If I worked hard enough, the only limit was really myself. And then since it was such a culture thing, if you were brought up as a 7th or an 8th grader, I mean, those upperclassmen just really embraced you. They knew that you were being brought up because you had either the potential to help the team win or push them in practice to help them get better. So it was just kind of one of those things. It was an opportunity that was provided, and I knew that if I worked hard, I could attain it.
Is it intimidating being a 7th grader on a varsity team? Because, again, where I come from, just being on the varsity team as a freshman, that was almost uncalled for, but it wasn't normal. I felt some intimidation being around juniors and seniors. Was it like that or not so much?
Again, it may have been that way if I wasn't in the culture that that had been established. And at that point, I was playing for Sarah Sumption. She had taken over the program. And again, she did a great job of building a culture, too, where the teammates just support each other. And at that point, it was Leola Frederick. So, again, I could see how in some programs it might be, but in our program, it was just accepted. And like I said, I could see maybe in some programs where it might be intimidating, but it was just a challenge that a lot of other people before me had done, and I was excited to get an opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt. Michaela Archigo joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. So you obviously, basketball is kind of your main one. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Again, shout out to like Shannon Daly, Chrissy Kopetsky, and Michelle Bruns. They were athletes who came before me who they did cross country, and that was back when cross country was the same season as basketball. But they did both of those sports to get in shape and stay in shape for basketball. And so that was something I wanted to do was use cross country to get in shape for basketball. And I was not, when I was a fifth, sixth, seventh grader, very good at running. But it was something that I ended up really falling in love with and enjoying. And I could see how it paid off in basketball where I could play the whole game. I never really got tired. And it ended up being something where I was finally competitive in it. So
we kind of joked about that this last year with Rio. I mean, she's a player. I'm sure. I mean, you've probably seen her play. I don't think I've ever seen a bead of sweat drop from her forehead. I mean, I'm like, she's a cyborg or something, but she's a great, avid runner, and she's just always in great shape. That's got to be one of the things that you look at back at your time and say, oh, I'm so glad I did cross country because it allowed me basically to always play close to 40 minutes a game, if not more, in an overtime game or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think one of the main reasons as a coach that you take players out is when you think they need a break or their legs can't handle it or that kind of thing. So it was one of those things where I never wanted the reason that I came out to be because I wasn't in shape. If it was a matchup situation or if it was because I made a stupid mistake, that's something different than something I couldn't control. I wanted to be able to control what I could control.
What's the difference in cultures with a basketball culture and a cross-country culture? There's probably some different ways of training and practice and whatnot, but is it kind of the same or is it just, hey, you know, that's just sports?
Cross-country and track, it seems there's a little less competition maybe within the team because generally everyone gets to compete. Mm-hmm. So there does seem to be a little bit less competition within the team itself. And it's also a lot more black and white than basketball is. Basketball, you're trying to figure out what combinations of kids maybe play better together, and then not only which play better together, but how do they match up against the team you're playing. So I think there's a little bit more strategy and a little bit more gray area when you're playing or coaching basketball, whereas in cross country and track, I mean, the stopwatch doesn't lie. You're only as fast as you are and as what it says on paper, whereas there are so many intangibles in basketball or so many things that maybe don't show up on a stat sheet. So I would say those are the biggest differences.
What did you like the most about cross country and your time partaking with that?
Cross country, definitely, I mean, again, the people. The fact that it is something that you can continue to do, I still run, definitely not as fast. Sometimes when people see me, they're like, how was the run? I'm like, well, I didn't set any speed records today. but that is something that's nice about it, is that it's a lifelong thing that you can continue to do, whereas basketball, sadly, that chapter of competing in basketball is closed. And, I mean, you can look back on it fondly, but it's something that you just can't really ever have again.
How are your knees? Still okay?
I've had 4 knee surgeries.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
My junior year of college, I had a knee surgery for an ACL, and then I was going for a run and stepped off a curb, so I actually retore my meniscus that summer. So then I had another surgery for that. And then my 5th year of college, when I was doing the steeplechase, I came off a barrier wrong and retore my meniscus. So they went in and fixed that, and then I had an ACI, which is where they take some cartilage out and regrow it, and then they re-implant it. So They took out the cartilage when they fixed the meniscus, and then I went back in and had it re-implanted.
All I've heard is the ACL. I've never even heard of the ACI. That sounds made up.
It does. The fact that they can take cartilage out and grow it in a lab and then send it back and reinsert it is crazy. But I've gotten 4 marathons out of it, so.
Wow.
They've done a good job.
Are you going to partake in the Hub City Triathlon over here?
You know, shout out, Hannah Carlson has been trying to get me to do triathlons for years, and I do not like swimming, and I am not very good at biking either, so I am strictly a runner. I can swim and I can bike, but I am not competitive at it, so I will not be partaking in that.
Well, we did have Todd Thorson on the program earlier on this week, and he was saying, you don't even have to do all three. You can just be the designated runner, and you get 2 other people that are really good in either riding bike or swimming, and you just do your leg, and then your buddy can do legs 2 or 3 or something like that.
That's what I would have to do. I would have to either do it as a team or just do the whole thing running.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you. So obviously you're still in great shape. Nutrition's probably a pretty big deal to be a great athlete, great student athlete in your day when you played for Northern State. How has that kind of changed over the years that you've been, you know, from a player to, you know, some coaching here as well? You've probably said, hey, you know, you got to put the right stuff in your body, right?
Yeah, I think that's something, when you think of how much things have changed, that's something that I wish I'd have focused more on in high school. Mm-hmm. I kind of focused on it a little bit more starting my sophomore year of college. You really don't realize how much that and sleep can make a difference when you're in high school. Once you get to college and once you're my age especially, you understand the importance of nutrition and sleep. But I guess if there's high school kids listening or high school parents listening, definitely get your kids enough sleep. I think that's probably one of the under, a lot of people are starting to catch up on the nutrition thing, but I think sleep is something that a lot of kids are still a little bit behind on, understanding how that can help improve your performance.
Do you get a lot of sleep? You got 3 young ones at home. That's got to be pretty tough.
I do not get a lot of sleep, but that's okay. Forrey Floggin from Rapid City Stevens, a great coach out there, once said, you can sleep when you're dead. So
yeah, they do say
I try and keep that in mind. I can sleep when I'm dead.
Sure,
so.
Fair enough.
And hopefully that doesn't happen for a while.
Yeah, another 80 years or so. Michaela Archko here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We got about another 1.5, 2 minutes or so. You get inducted into the NSU Hall of Fame for your greatness in cross country and basketball. Did you get a phone call? Did you get a release? Did you see the release or maybe a text message? I mean, what is that? How did it come to be, and what does that mean to you?
I got a phone call from Nate Davis, and I was kind of surprised. I kind of thought maybe they would be – it was like the foundation calling or something like that, asking for donations, because when you're a student athlete, you know, it's always great to give back to the programs that help set you up for success in life. So that's kind of what I expected when I got the call. So I was really surprised that that's what it was. Looking back, I don't really think I did anything that particularly well. I think I worked really hard, but I mean, there's a lot of other people who are probably more deserving, but so I'm really thankful that the committee thought that what I had accomplished was worth recognizing.
Have you always been this humble? I feel like that's a pretty humble thing to say. It's like, well, you put up some really good numbers. You've got some records that are still there. Here we are almost a decade later, or more than a decade later.
You know, I think it's probably the competitiveness in me. When I look at some of the records, I don't really see the ones that I have. I see the ones I didn't get. And I think those are kind of the ones that stand out maybe a little bit more, like, oh, I'm second in rebounds, but I'm not first in rebounds. Or I'm somewhere on the list after scoring 1,000 points, but I'm not the top one. So I think it's kind of, I don't know if it's humble or competitive, but I see a lot of the things I didn't achieve. So it is nice that people recognize some of the things I did achieve, because I feel like there are a lot of things that maybe I could have done that I maybe didn't. So
okay, fair enough. We got about 1 minute left to go here before we wrap up the program. Where do you get your competitiveness now? I know you, like you said, you still are running and you still are active, still very fit. You know, pick up basketball in the front yard with the kids against the husband or something like that. Where do you get your competitive fix?
Like I said, I still run. I think I judge the success a little bit different. I know, again, Hannah Carlson and I a while back started a little challenge amongst ourselves where it was just, okay, if we get this many workouts in or we get this many workout minutes in, it's a win. So I think kind of finding ways to be competitive where you can get the wins or losses in a little bit different way. And I mean, my kids are still pretty young, so I can still beat them in races and beat them in horse and all that good stuff yet. So, and we do make some competitions out of things that probably don't need to be competitive, but I mean, a win's a win sometimes.
Well, I can still beat my daughter to the edge of our fence line. So, you know, she's two now, so I can still beat her. Congratulations, Coach, again, and appreciate you doing this.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Michaela Archigo here in studio on Fox Sports, Aberdeen.